Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC fans of all ages. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. The Wahoo football team received a bid to play Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Bowl on December 31st down in Hotlanta, much to the surprise of quite a few observers. Had to be one of the better breaks we've gotten in a long time.
You were talking Music City last week.
You know what? I think most people were betting on either the Belk Bowl or Music City. And it just goes to show you got to see how the games play out. And there were some surprises, and it was a big break for the Wahoos. So we're pretty excited about that.
I think we may have the Clemson Tigers to thank for that, because I think if the Hokies had won, they go to the Orange Bowl, and Clemson would have probably gone to the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Or some such other combination. But anyway, a ninth win is now possible for this season. The UVA basketball teams are racking up wins and striving for top 25 status on both the men's and women's side. Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us.
Yeah, welcome to Drive Time. Who's talking? If you're in your car, I think it's raining out there. It's supposed to be. I'm giving the weather forecast here. You know, a little cloudy and dreary out there. So be careful driving home. We're glad that you've joined us tonight. A little early. We're on 5:30 to 6:30 as we take you to the Hokie pregame show at 6:30. But tonight we will be joined by basketball legend, my friend and teammate and associate athletic director at Virginia for Development, none other than Barry Parkhill. And then in the second half hour, which is normally our first half hour, we had expected or hoped to have Tony Bennett as our guest, but he's up in New Jersey recruiting the next Jim Hobgood, and we had to excuse him when he's up there getting somebody of that talent level, you know. But anyway, Tony.
Well, they're hard to find.
Tony's up there recruiting in New Jersey, and in his stead, we have associate head coach Richie McKay, who will join us at approximately 6:15, and we'll keep him through the bottom of the hour, so we'll have Coach McKay on for about 15 minutes. So if you have any questions you want to ask one of the basketball coaches, call us at 345-0910. And in the meantime, if you want to call and ask Mr. Parkhill or Frank or yours truly a question, feel free to jump right in there and give us a holler.
Anyhow, Who's Talking is streaming live on thesaber.com and sportsradio910.com. We encourage everyone to send questions, comments via Facebook, or tonight, please call in 804-345-0910, 345-0910. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and it should be brought up to speed again. I know that our friends, Chris Wright, he got a little bit behind there, but I think we've caught up now, and all the shows are back in order and organized. And anyhow, we encourage you to go to Facebook, become a fan of Who's Talking, and stay in touch with us. Let us know what you like and suggestions for future guests and questions you might have for current guests.
Yes, indeed. A busy time in Charlottesville for Virginia athletics. First time in the history of Who's Talking. We're in year three that Virginia's prepping to go to a bowl, so football season, rather than being over, continues through the end of December, so a lot of excitement in that regard. I think there's a press conference in Charlottesville on Friday with the Chick-fil-A representatives up there and Coach London and hopefully some of the players. And as Frank said earlier, Virginia basketball on a six-game winning streak has moved to 8-1, their best start since, I think, the 2004-05 season, getting some votes. Not in the top 25, but at least getting a few votes, coming off particularly the win over Michigan. So now
a brief visit in the top 25, and they'll be back again soon. Women's basketball was in the top 25 for a short stay and are still getting votes, and they've won a couple in a row.
And you went to see them play Sunday at Richmond.
Saw them on Sunday, and that was a great opportunity for Richmond area fans. And it was very interesting to notice. I thought that the Richmond fans and the UVA fans did a great job of cheering for the game. So a lot of good action in that game.
Yeah, Joanne Boyle, I think she's a terrific hire and is a great successor to Debbie Ryan, and I think she's going to get that women's program among the elite programs in the country as she moves forward at the University of Virginia. So a lot to be excited about over there in Hooland. And on the men's basketball side, I guess they're getting ready to be students here as they prep for exams and have a 12-day break.
Yep.
Virginia has always taken, if you look at it, they take among, if not the longest break between games for the kids to take care of the academic side of the equation.
And I'm told that it's pretty rigorous for several players, that, you know, it's important for them to bear down right now and do what they need to do to maintain their eligibility and their good standing in school. So,
well, the thing, and my hat is off to them. You know, when I was there back in when Dr. Naismith, we still had the peach baskets, of course, but, you know, you played on the freshman team, so the schedule, they did that where you had fewer games. You also had less travel.
Right.
So as a consequence, it was a little easier academically in your first year. So these kids that come in and play right away and still have to cope with the adjustment from high school to college, not only athletically but academically, my hat is off to them, and it is a very difficult assignment.
Well, it's interesting. They've got a 12-day break, but, you know, they've got to travel out to Oregon for that game on Sunday, December 18th. That's not an easy assignment. Then they're playing Seattle a few days later. So I'm not sure who planned the West Coast swing, but that's the Northwest Coast swing. I mean, that's a long trip.
Yeah, it is a long trip. You know, a few years ago, I know we went out and played Gonzaga in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
So a long way out there. And, you know, it's just a return of the two games that Virginia scheduled last year, and I think the scheduling of those games probably relates to Coach Bennett having been at Washington State and had some contact with those schools out there, so he was able to schedule the games. And I think we now have Mr. Parkhill on the phone. Let me say this, maybe some people will call in and disagree with me, but as I think about the last 30 or 40 years of Virginia athletics, there are four people that I think have been crucial to the success of the program. One is none other than Barry Parkhill, the other Ralph Sampson, the third George Welsh, and the fourth Terry Holland. Those individuals have contributed as much over an extended period of time as anybody, in my opinion. I know you're saying, well, what about Jim Hobgood? But I appreciate
it. I was going to say, Hobbo should be there somewhere.
Anyway, Barry, are you with us?
I am, and you must be looking for one heck of a Christmas present.
Well, I'm hoping, you know.
Always fishing. That's the Hobgood tradition.
There's always hope. It springs eternal. But at any rate, none other than the man himself, Barry Parkhill. Barry, we'll get to basketball. Let's start with football. Talk a little bit about the invitation to the Chick-fil-A Bowl and how much that means to the athletic program.
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy holidays and everybody out there listening. I think I can speak for everybody involved with the university and anybody who follows and cares about our football program that I think we were about as happy as we could possibly be. At the end of the day, you guys know Coach Lund has done a great job with our program, and as the season progressed, we just got better and better, and first step is becoming bowl eligible. But to get an invitation to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which I think would arguably be one of the best, you know, non-BCS bowl games out there. Everybody is just elated, and you know, you gotta temper that with, hey, we've got a football game against a great opponent, and the objective is to go down there and win the game.
Are there and maybe it hasn't been set, but for some of the fans that might be planning on going down there, and Frank Maloney may be among them, are there already events planned for Virginia fans to attend down in Atlanta surrounding the game?
At this point, Jim, yes, there are. Those details are still being worked out, but there's going to be a pregame event at the Georgia Dome and a postgame Virginia party, if you will. But again, all those details are being worked out and should be solidified before the end of the week.
And you probably know this better than anybody. We have a strong alumni base down in Atlanta, don't we?
We do. Atlanta's one of the larger alumni bases in the country. I would say it's probably top seven or top eight. And certainly we hope that those folks will support the efforts of the team. But the great part about Atlanta is a lot of people will drive from Charlottesville, Richmond, state of Virginia. Birmingham, Alabama's got a great contingent of Virginia grads, and mm-hmm. you know, all over the Southeast. So we're very much hoping to, you know, to sell out our allotment and have a great crowd.
Barry, this is Frank. Thank you for joining us tonight. Talking about the game itself real quick, could Virginia have been really any more fortunate to end up playing the defending national champion? I mean,
I don't think so, Frank. And it's good to talk to you. You know, there's obviously a lot of things that had to occur for us to get a bid to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And I'll be honest with you, I have not really delved into Auburn and what kind of squad they have, other than I know they're very good. They play in arguably the best league in the country, and they're defending national champs. More focused on our team and what we're doing. But it's just a great matchup, and I think everybody is really looking forward to it.
Well, I think it's a great thing, and I certainly hope, and we will be promoting the next couple of weeks, the 1-800, it's 542-UVA1.
For tickets, yeah.
For tickets, and trying to encourage folks either on Facebook and everywhere else to get on board and support the team and get down there to see what really is, I think, a rebuild of our football program that's ahead of schedule. I mean, wouldn't you have to agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely would. With always trying to have realistic expectations. You know, Mike is still building the program with recruiting, and that goes with not only, you know, starting talent, but depth. And you make a great point, and I would encourage and have encouraged, as we all have all week, our fans to, if they're thinking about going to the game, to make sure they buy tickets through the University of Virginia, because that not only helps support our team this year, but that helps with future bowls in a large way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's certainly helped our brethren to the southwest in Virginia. Virginia Tech, they travel well, and that may be why they're at the Sugar Bowl, but that's for another show on another time. Let's go to good old basketball. Tony Bennett, I know you are as big a fan of Tony as I am, but what a great start for the basketball team through what I call the first segment of the season, meaning the pre-exam segment. What's your assessment of the team to date?
Jim, I would run for president of the Tony Bennett fan club if there was such a thing. I've said this many times. I think Tony is a perfect fit for the University of Virginia for all the right reasons. He's put together a great staff. I really like our team. Obviously, with any team, being healthy is really important, and having Mike Scott back. I don't know if Sammy's 100% yet, but he's certainly getting close, and he played really well last night. The signature of Tony Bennett, and everybody knows this now, is playing great team defense. I do think we've got some kids that can put the ball in the basket, but when you play consistent defense every night, you're going to be in games, and when you make baskets, you're going to win a lot of games. And I just really like the makeup of Tony's team, and I think it's still a bit of a team in progress. Jim and Frank, I don't know if Tony's really settled totally on a rotation, but you know, there's some really good talent, and there are some kids that are probably still fighting for time to get into that rotation before the ACC schedule begins.
Well, although it seemed to me last night, being at the game, that while the rotation is not set, you know, I'm big on getting a rotation set prior to the ACC schedule and defining roles for kids. And it seems like this team, and of course, one of the things is you got three seniors, two of whom are fifth-year seniors, and Mike Scott and Sammy. But you also have Asan Sen. So you got three seniors, a junior and a sophomore in the starting lineup.
Jontel Evans.
Yeah, he's a junior, right? So you just really have a lot of experience there and guys that understand how they can contribute and what their role is.
It's a great point, Jim, and I think you also have to remember this is, you know, Tony's entering his third year. These kids totally understand what he wants them to do and how he wants them to play, and guys are really playing well together, and you're mixing in some pretty talented younger kids.
The Brogdon kid looks like he's got real potential.
Malcolm is a basketball player. He's built like a basketball player. He's mature beyond his years. He's got a basketball IQ, and I think he's shown that in the last week or so.
And he's like me. He's not afraid to shoot it.
No, that's for sure. And I would classify him as more of a scorer than a shooter.
Right.
But again, he's just a really good player who gives Tony some flexibility. He can play a couple positions. You know, and last year when Mike Scott went down, as you guys know, Tony played a lot of times with basically four guards, with Joe Harris playing the power forward position. He could certainly go that route this year, but with Mike healthy and his son better, and and Nikhil Mitchell, he's got a more traditional lineup that he can play, but there is some flexibility there.
Well, and the big thing is with Mike Scott back, you know, football always talks about you need to have a balance between passing and running. Basketball, you need inside, outside. So with Mike Scott, you know, you have the inside threat, and you still have, you know, Joe Harris, Sammy, Malcolm Brogdon, and others on the perimeter, so you have a nice complementary offense.
It's Jim, you know it, having played. If you got a guy that can score inside, defense has got to respect that, and they've got to double down. And when they double down, that leaves somebody open on the outside. And if you get guys that can shoot the ball, it's going to make your offense a little bit better. And I don't see Hassan Sen being a major scorer, but that young man has really gotten better. He's a hard worker, and you could see it last year with playing time and some success. He gained a lot of confidence, and he's just a much better player this year.
I think if we can keep Hassan on the floor, and I guess this is coach speak a little bit, if they can keep Hassan on the floor, doesn't it just give Tony Bennett so much more flexibility to rotate different lineups around him almost? Like, you know, he can rest Mike Scott some. He can play. I don't know if they're going to play Atkins beyond this stretch. Or what are your thoughts on Atkins? I mean, he's showing a lot of talent.
I think he's got a tremendous upside. Very similar to Akil Mitchell.
Right.
You know, and again, I think that's where you're looking at. There's only so many minutes in a game, and right. You look at Hassan Sen and Mike Scott, Akil Mitchell, Atkins, James Johnson.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of minutes between, you know, five or six guys, and the kids are going to have to earn it. But I think there are certain teams where we're going to need size, and there are other teams where Tony might be able to go a little bit smaller with Mike Scott, Akil Mitchell, and be maybe a little bit more athletic. But again, as you say, Hassan Sen, the way he's playing, does give Tony some flexibility.
Barry, we got a couple of minutes or so before we got to go to break and move on. But talk a little bit about facilities over at the University of Virginia. I know they're discussing a football practice facility. What else, if anything, is on the drawing board?
Right now, Jim, we have a brand new, but the same location. We are in the process of refurbishing and renovating our track and field facility. And I'm pretty sure you still do not hold the record for the 3-300 preseason training prerequisite. But we've got another large phase two of that project that's underway. The priority right now is an indoor practice facility. It's something we've needed for decades. It's something we now finally have a chance to accomplish. It's a $13 million budget, and it's a permanent facility that will be built over and around one of our two football practice fields. We've raised approximately $9 million towards $13 million, and we're really trying to get that funded by February so we can put a shovel in the ground and build the facility. And again, football is certainly the primary tenant, but it will also benefit all of our other field sports.
Also, what about, I'm sorry, I was just going to ask you quick about baseball. Any additional thinking about baseball facilities?
Yes, there are some enhancements that we'd like to fund, you know, over the next several months to – you know, some of it's aesthetic, like fixing up the parking lot, which needs fixing up, and some other areas of the stadium. One project that's, I could say, it's getting close to coming on the table is a golf clubhouse for our men's and women's program, which has been talked about for years, but I've seen renderings, and we're getting ready to, you know, go full speed ahead and raise funds for that effort. And there's a couple other potential projects that are being talked about, but the indoor practice facility is the priority at this point.
All right, I want to shift gears real quick. We've got about a minute left. Barry, just two thoughts and just get your take on this. Maryland is having terrible difficulties. They're dropping quite a few sports. I want to say eight sports. At the same time, the other question is, you know, the trends that you're seeing in college basketball with really what appears to be more fouling and delayed games and lower scores, and two separate thoughts, but I just wondered if we could squeeze those in.
The funding situation at Maryland is certainly, I don't know if disturbing is the right word, Frank, but They've got some challenges. You know what? I think probably just about every college athletic program has challenges. It's something that I've paid a little bit of attention to. I know they've got quite a bit of debt. I guess as a fan of college athletics as a whole, you would hope that somebody who cares about University of Maryland may step in and write some big checks to help keep some of those programs alive. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but when you're not meeting the bottom line, unfortunately, one of the things that helps you get there is the removal of Olympic sports, and that's what they're going through right now. In terms of the basketball and the fouling and whatnot, I think it's a little bit too early. I haven't given that a whole lot of thought. The one thing, Frank, that's really not answering your question, I really like the fact that they've put in the semicircle right under the basket
right
to try to make it a more clear call when there's a block or a charge, and they've taken that from the pros. I really like that. It makes a tougher call for the officials in terms of paying attention to where kids' feet are, but I just really like that rule.
Yeah, I mean, I was one that was always trying to take those charges under the basket.
Because Jim was known for his footwork.
You know, I was known as playing Ole defense, you know.
That's not true. You were never afraid to stick your head in there, and as Coach Gibson said, it only hurts for 5 seconds
there
when you
are.
Take charge.
Well, listen, we've been visiting with Barry Parkhill, my former teammate, co-captain, good friend for a long period of time. So, Barry, we thank you for taking a few minutes to join us tonight.
My pleasure, guys. And again, happy holidays to you and your family and everybody out there.
Well, likewise.
You
Barry
too,
Parkhill, university legend. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to plug in the Olympic report. We're kind of restructuring our clock here tonight. And don't forget, next half hour, we'll have Associate Head Coach Richie McKay joining us. Stay with us.
All right, that's a great tune. I hate to cut that one off. This is Frank Maloney with my good partner, Jim Hobgood, and Michael Tusky with us back in studio. This is Who's Talking. Now we're going to review the latest sports news from Charlottesville. Let's get everybody cut up on the Olympic sports. Michael?
All right. As Frank alluded to earlier, the Virginia women's basketball team is now 7-2 after two impressive wins over the past week. They beat Indiana 65-49 last Thursday in the ACC Big Ten Challenge at John Paul Jones Arena. Sophomore guard Ataria Franklin scored a season-high 16 points, grabbed 6 rebounds, and had 4 steals in the contest. The Wahoos then defeated Coach Boyle's former team, Richmond, 69-56 here in town at the Robin Center on Sunday afternoon. Senior guard Ariana Moore led the team and matched her season high with 17 points. This was also the 7th game in a row where she has scored in double figures. Next, the team hosts the Liberty Flames tonight before taking a well-deserved 11-day break for exams. The number 21 Virginia men's swimming team finished 4th, and the number 18 Virginia women's swimming team finished 5th at the Georgia Invitational held in Athens, Georgia over the weekend. Based on their performances at the meet, junior Meredith Cavalier, yes, UVA has a swimmer whose last name is Cavalier. I guess Coach Bernardino didn't have to worry about her committing to Carolina with a name like that. Anyway, she and senior David Karasek were named the ACC Swimming Performers of the Week, so great job.
You know, speaking of the women's game the other day at the Robin Center, very impressed with a couple of players for Virginia. Chelsea Shine is about the most unselfish senior you'll ever watch. About the only time she tries to force it up in there is if the pass leads her to the hoop. Good passer, plays excellent off the ball, picking and rolling and so forth. Good help defense. Ariana Moore is one tough cookie. Rolled her ankle, retaped it, laced up the shoelaces tighter, and went back in there and kept on contributing, and really liked the hustle of Lexi Gerson, who is a newcomer. She is very athletic, and if you go watch the Lady Cavs, I think you'd be very impressed by that young lady's hustle.
Yeah, and the Michael probably mentioned it. They play Liberty at home tonight, right? And
that is correct.
Yes, it's 7 o'clock.
Is their record 7-2?
Yes.
Going into the game, so a chance for them to be 8-2 going into the exam break. And, Frank, the Bill Dudley Scholarship, the dinner, has it been held or is it coming up?
It's tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight, believe it or not. But the good news is tonight the Bill Dudley Scholarship Committee is announcing that the winner of this year's scholarship award is Roland Gordon. He's a senior at Hermitage High School He was an ESPN Richmond Metro Player of the Week, Special Teams Player of the Week, multiple Player of the Weeks by a number of different organizations. He was Captain of the Week. He's a student mentor, National Honor Society, 4.1 GPA. Hopefully this young man will try to walk on at UVA. I know his head coach, Patrick Kane, is an excellent guy, and Coach Kane had nominated him, and it's very exciting that a Hermitage athlete has won that scholarship. And this year, the scholarship was increased to $5,000. So that's a wonderful one-time award, and I'm very happy for the Bill Dudley Scholarship Committee.
All right, we got our top of the hour break. We'll be back with more of Who's Talking following these messages. Stay with us.